First off, I want to say thank you to the Bears organization for allowing me to come back and sign my one-day contract. I was kind of against the whole press conference. I told everybody I literally just wanted to sign the one-day contract, meet with George and Cliff, and just sign it and just be done. But I'm thankful that I seeked advisement, and everyone said you should do a press conference, so I'm glad. There was a tremendous outpour of support, when I made my announcement. And I have to say that I've had 13 amazing years of playing football, 12 of which that were in Chicago and one great year in Carolina. I'm thankful to the fans that have supported me on and off the field, my teammates, and my coaches. The man you see today, I didn't do this all by myself. My parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, high school coaches, college coaches, they've all played a part in transforming in what you see today. And I'm so very grateful for all their support. And, at the time, when my mom and dad was whooping me, I definitely didn't think those whoopings, I deserved them. But looking back on it, I deserved everyone, and it taught me respect, and it taught me a lot about myself. And I'm so thankful for my mom and my dad for doing a good job of raising me and teaching me a good work ethic. Well, you guys literally saw me grow up in, from this young barely 22-year-old out of Louisiana Lafayette. You saw me turn into a man in front of your own eyes, in front of TV. And, I'm extremely grateful when I got drafted here of a man by the name of Dwayne Joseph, who taught me how to be a professional. I kind of treated football as if it was like high school or college. It was just a sport. But he taught me since day one. He was our player development director. And he said, you're the president of Charles Stillman Incorporated. And you're the CEO of you. You have people. You're somebody else's employer. You employ people. So you're a CEO. And you need to conduct yourself in the manner of a CEO. Pants hanging down by your ankles and, how you present yourself. Perception is reality. People treat you how they perceive you. And I took that to heart and really tried to have a strong brand. I'm a big Jordan fan, right? We all are. And I look at that Jordan brand or the Apple brand. It's strong. It's global. I'm not global yet, but I really liked how he told me that. And I really wanted to develop and turn my Charles Tillman, Peanut Tillman, I really wanted to turn that into a strong brand. And it's taken 13 years, but I think I've done okay with what he taught me. Off season is stay-at-home mom. I was braiding hair this morning, getting the girls ready, getting them dresses ready, getting my son's hair, picking out his clothes, ironing his shirt. That's the off season, but I'm still rehabbing my knee though. Yeah. What led to the decision? I don't know. I just woke up one day. I was like, I think I'm done. I'm tired. I don't got to get ready for a training camp. So yeah, I think I'm good. I'm gonna retire. And it was just kind of, it was that easy. If it were up to my wife, if it were up to Jack, she would, I'd probably still be playing. She tried to talk me into playing a couple of times, and I told her, no, I think I'm good. I think I'm going to retire. No, you still got another year. You could do it. You could do it. All right, yeah, I think I can. And, a week ago by, and I was like, yeah, I think I'm going to retire again, babe. She's like, nah, you just, you got this. You got this. And then she had talked me into it again. But I think once I tried to talk myself into coming back like three times, I knew that it was time for me to walk away from this game. Well, I'm going to try to enjoy retirement. Being the dad or Duber, I drive all my kids around, so I call myself the Duber guy. I'm a Duber, and really, just be a family guy. I got the Fox gig, so I'm one of y'all now. I guess I'm a journalist. I'm a black anchor man. That's what I'm gonna do. The black anchor man. we gonna get into fights. You know, we can meet up at like Jackson Park or something like that. I'll have my crew. You have your crew. We can get down, get a, you know, get a little Anchorman fight going on, something like that. But we'll keep it casual, respectful. Yeah. There's certain, obviously, my, I think one of my best memories is the Minnesota Vikings game. You know, that was kind of like the play that put me on the map, if you'd call it that. And the 2006 season, you know, I think that was a very special season. The coaches, the players, the building, everyone that worked in the building, you know, from equipment to trainers to media to community relations to tickets to everybody. You know, I think that was, I think someone said it best, it was lightning in a bottle. We had everything from top to bottom. And more importantly, the culture of the team, the players, you know, we had this camaraderie with each other. You know, wasn't a lot of talking. We joked all the time, all types of games, having fun. And, yeah, very special season. Very similar to what we had in Charlotte this year, in the 2015 season. Yeah, again, I think the move is fine. It's cool. A lot of people ask me how I came up with it, how I developed it, and I was a guy who, you know, I'm not Brian Urlacher, I'm not Lance Briggs, I'm not Thomas Davis or Luke Kuechly. I don't hit that hard. I don't hit like those four guys. You know, I like to think of myself as a little guy, so I'm going to just try to separate the man from the ball the best way I know how, and that's not with my shoulder pads, that's with my fists. And, you know, did it a few times and did it a couple of times in college. It kind of carried over in the league. And, you know, 44 forced fumbles later, it was a patent move. And I don't know who coined the name Peanut Punch. I wish I'd have gotten in on some of that stock so I could have reserved the right to use that for myself. But it worked out. And I'm very blessed that people recognize that and that I was able to leave my mark on the game of football. Because now you see a lot of people doing it now. I think Calvin definitely, he made me a better player. You know, two fierce competitors going at it. And I think competition really brings out the best in who you are as a person. And, you know, I didn't win every battle, nor did he. But I think him and I both, we both played the game with respect. We're, you know, division, two rivals going at it back and forth, you know, twice a year. But I never hated him. I never disliked him. It was just while we were playing, yeah, I disliked him. But after the game, it was, hey, man, it was a great game, good competition. I actually have a Calvin jersey or Calvin Johnson jersey hanging on my in my man cave right now. Nothing but respect for that guy. But to give my D-line a lot of credit, it wasn't just me making those plays out there. And you got to look at the guys that I had in front of me helping me out. You know, the Mike Browns, the Chris Harrises, the Alex Browns, the Brian Urlachers, the Lance Briggs, the Tommy Harrises, Nate Vashers. You know, all those guys that I played with, they made me a better player. You know, I'm not shutting down Calvin Johnson by myself. We shut down Calvin Johnson, you know. You know, out of – if you take away football plays, football memories that is probably my most memorable moment of being in the NFL. I don't think I'm significant at all. I think I'm just a small piece. And to get up on stage, Radio City Music Hall, standing ovation, Hall of Famers crying, I'm crying, I got the ugly face, you know. And I was trying to figure out what just happened. And all the work that my wife and I have done because of something that happened with Tiana, you know, we tried to take a negative situation and make it positive and use our strength for service and not status. And using my platform to help out so many other people because when I was at an all-time low, I needed help. And a complete stranger that I had no clue who she was from another state made a choice to help out my family. And she used her strength. And I felt like with the platform that I have, I felt it was only right to just start, you know, doing more and keeping that cycle of giving going. You know, and that's why we do what we do. If you've never, it's a challenge. If you've never helped a complete stranger, and I'm not talking about just giving them money, but just maybe some advice, a bottle of water, a dollar or two, something. Just help out a complete stranger. It's so gratifying. It's one of the best feelings you'll ever have. I promise you. I kid you not. Helping a complete stranger, someone you don't even know. And not looking for nothing in return, just helping a complete stranger. It's one of the best feelings ever.